Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found Nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Joined now by Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. He's been covering the team since they've been in Nashville, and we've never had a story like this since they've been to Nashville. Terry, the positive tests keep piling on. It's been a tough week for the Tennessee Titans, and now you start to wonder, what does this mean for the Buffalo game? Is the Buffalo game 10 days out in jeopardy now?
Well, with two more positive tests being reported this morning, that brings the total up to 7 players. I got to think that they are now starting to look at this Buffalo game as something that may not be a sure thing to happen a week from Sunday. It's a situation where, you know, quite honestly, I think the NFL had a little bit too much of a bulletproof attitude in this and think it could happen to them, and they've kind of been caught now, and the Titans are the team that's kind of paying the price.
Well, what is going to be really interesting to follow and chart, is this contained to just the Titans, or is this going to spread, right? It is spread in college football. There's been postponements every week. But now you do wonder, while the Vikings have opened back up their facility, and so far, knock on wood, things have been good. But it doesn't mean that they're out of the woods just yet from that game back on Sunday. And it looks like they're going to play the Texans on Sunday in Houston.
Right.
And if there is all of a sudden some positive tests that come up, then you've got a whole new layer to the NFL schedule that right now has been contained to one matchup. But it could spread just like the virus. I don't think the Vikings are completely out of the woods yet. What do you think?
Well, they've been fortunate so far. They've not had any positive tests, and I think that's a good sign. But, you know, what happens if they come up with one the day before the game? If they have one tomorrow, what's the NFL
right.
going to do?
Yeah.
What happens if they go to Houston and then the positive tests come out, that, you know, 2 or 3 guys test positive on Monday after they get back from Houston? Then that's where the concern really starts to take place. And I think the NFL kind of dropped the ball here, because I think they had a lot of time to see how the NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball handled this. And obviously their model is probably the most like the Major League Baseball, because there's no bubble. And I think when they saw what happened to the Marlins and the Cardinals this year, they probably should have exercised a little bit more caution and creativity as far as the schedule goes. They probably should have built in a second bye week to the schedule. You know, lost the week that is in between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl, and given themselves an extra bye week to try and work in games just in case. Because I do think that if this thing goes on with the Titans for a couple of more days and they're supposed to keep testing through Monday, you know, there's a chance that this Bills game may have to be moved as well.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be. I think there's a real shot this thing becomes bigger than just moving bye weeks around, right? In other words, everything that's been planned in January and the 1st of February, may get shifted to other dates. I mean, that may be a possibility. And another thing that we've been talking about on this show, you just brought it up. You know, there's a brand new beautiful stadium in Las Vegas. There's a brand new beautiful stadium in Los Angeles. Those are two to name a few. Obviously, Dallas. You would have to have areas that could have lots of fields that could house these teams to practice. But how much conversation do you think, or do you think there's been any conversation this week talking about a bubble scenario for the NFC and the AFC come playoff time?
Well, that's a good question. And we saw baseball shift to that. You know, they're going to be playing in Arlington and in San Diego and I think in L.A.
In L.A., yes.
And, you know, it's probably not a bad idea. I know that, you know, a lot of teams would not want to give up a home field advantage, which is what you fight a 16-game regular season to try to get in the playoffs. But, you know, there's not a lot of fans, maybe, and in some places not any fans in the stands anyway. So, you know, we've kind of seen home field advantage go by the wayside. The only thing that seems to count there is you're sleeping in your own bed as opposed to a hotel or whatever. And I think when you look at it from that perspective, a bubble for the postseason may be something they ought to explore.
Can I ask why, and I don't expect you to know the answer to this, but I'm just curious, and maybe you do. Why are they supposed to release the names of the players, but yet they don't have to on staff members?
That's a good question. I wish I knew the answer to that. It would be nice to know, you know, because, I mean, let's be honest here. It's quite a bit of difference. Like, we know that Shane Bowen has tested positive, and he's kind of the de facto defensive coordinator. It's a whole lot different animal to go into a game without your defensive coordinator because he's tested positive than it is to go in without somebody from the equipment staff or media relations, somebody that is essential to, you know, I'm not saying they're not essential, but they're not essential to the game on the field. So that is kind of interesting to me that they're not disclosing those types of things.
And I'm not clamoring one way or the other, Terry. I could care less, honestly, if they release the names. Sometimes I think it's unfair that, you know, the names get released. But, you know, I'm okay one way or the other, but I'm just curious why the divide. Why would you have, you know, one area, yes, release names. Other area, you don't have to. Why not? I mean, if you're going to release one in this area, then why not in the other? I mean, I'm okay either way. I'm just surprised that it's okay for one side to, you know, it's okay for them to release players' names, not okay, they don't have to, for coaches or staff members.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean, I think part of the reason, I guess, that they have to release the names of the players is for the fact that it's a competitive advantage. Not that it wouldn't be a competitive advantage in my mind if your offensive coordinator wasn't available for you or your head coach wasn't available for you on game day. But if, for example, I'll give you the example of Bo Brinkley. You know that that if the Titans were playing this week and with Bo Brinkley out of the mix because he's their long snapper, you know that the Titans are going to be at a disadvantage on field goals and extra points and punt snaps. And with that, it affects, you know, it could affect the outcome of the game. So I guess that's why they reveal the players.
We're talking to Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. And Terry, you know, there's so many questions that, you know, as we gain experience covering football, we've tried to learn about subjects we've never studied before. But I am curious. I guess it's been pretty widely reported now that the NFL and the NFLPA are going to come to Nashville, look into what has happened, where to go from here. If it's contained just to the Titans, what a huge dodging of what could have been a far worse situation. It looks like the Vikings game, as of now, is good to go, no tests. But this could be the wake-up call that the league needs to try to go into, you know, the play-by-play of how it got to this point, right? Because this has been an eye-opening experience for a lot of us.
Sure, absolutely. I think, you know, anything that they can find as far as where something might have fallen through the cracks and where this thing might have gotten started, I think is good and useful information that they can use maybe to keep the next event from happening this way. And I think, you know, there's so much about this virus that, you know, is still just completely unknown and still completely, you know, mysterious in terms of it. I mean, for crying out loud, the president tested positive this morning. So, you know, that's kind of where we are with this and how this thing works. And sometimes no matter how much care and how much due diligence that you may do, you know, sometimes it's inevitable. And I think that, you know, the Titans were unfortunate that it's them. But if something can be learned by the league and something can be learned from the Players Association and the teams about how to, you know, about how this might have happened, about how to keep it spreading further, then that's obviously a good thing.
I agree with you 100% that there are still things that we don't know. There also are a lot of things that we've learned from the start of this. And I think that's where the NFL, and I'm putting it on the NFL, not the Titans, because I do think you can be doing everything you're supposed to be doing and still have this happen. So I agree with Mike Vrabel that there's no one to blame. But I do think it's important to disclose and try to find out exactly what steps were taken, because I trust Mike Vrabel when he says, we followed the protocols. These are the NFL's protocols, right? These are not the Titans making choices. They went with what the league has laid out, and this happened. So, for example, of you know when they learned of the positive test on Saturday, I think it's just a fair thing for discussion, not to lay blame or anything like that. As to is that what needs going forward to be looked at, as to if that situation comes up again, rather than get on the plane, travel, and play. Is that it? Could this have been avoided to some degree if they had taken strong measures right there within the protocols? Because once again, they were within their rights to go forward within the NFL's protocol and go play the game.
No, you make a very valid point, and that's something that they're going to have to weigh in the future. Because you know there was the positive test with Shane Bowen, the outside linebackers coach and de facto defensive coordinator, on Saturday. So they made the right call in not taking him on the trip with them. But what they didn't know at the time was that all these other players apparently were infected with the virus, and they went ahead and played the game. And they, and as we said, they were extremely lucky that thus far it hasn't spread to the Vikings. And it makes you wonder that the next time a team has somebody within their facility test positive, will they stop that team from going on the road and going ahead and making a road trip and possibly, you know, risking, even if they don't know whether other people are infected, if it's just one isolated person or if it's spread to the team? And I think that is the conundrum that they're facing here, is because, you know, the positive test, the symptoms and all, don't show up at the same time in everybody. You know, it's two or three a day here, two or three a day there, and pretty soon it's run its course through multiple people, and you wonder just, you know, what is the right course to take, you know, and you don't want to have to go and shut everything down and not make a trip, but in some cases that may be what you're forced to do.
We're talking to Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com, about all things going on with this team right now. So it's a general question, Terry, and I don't know where you want to take it, but in 3 years that Mike Vrabel's been the head coach, and granted, this is a very unique situation and a different year for everybody, but when there is something that is tough or uncomfortable that he has to address, how do you think he's handled it overall?
I don't think he could have done a whole lot better than he's done, and I asked him this yesterday, where does that resolve come from in terms of being able to deal with distractions? You think about it, the very first game he was the head coach, there were the two lightning delays in Miami that forced that game to go about 6 or 7 hours. There was the whole Rashard Matthews quitting in the middle of the season, just up and leaving the team, walking out. They managed to overcome that. There was the Kevin Dodd situation, and now the most serious thing that they face now is the COVID matter. So, to me, Vrabel has this knack for being able to deal with dire circumstances and not lose his cool, not lose his head in terms of trying to formulate a plan and deciding where and when the organization goes from there. And he said he learned a lot of that from his parents, who were both teachers and administrators in education. And he said that he learned a lot of it from Bill Belichick, quite frankly, seeing how he dealt with things in 8 years as a player with the Patriots. So to me, Mike Vrabel is a guy that seems to be the right guy for this situation. And, you know, you don't want to go through this, but Vrabel does seem to be able to wade through the muck, so to speak.
Yeah, and you know, another part of that, when you're just kind of looking at leadership, one of the off-season storylines was all the guys that were leaving and weren't going to be in that locker room anymore. How do you replace them simply from the voices in the locker room, the leaders in the locker room? This is one of those situations where you need those guys. And I know it's different for you because you don't have, you know, you're not able to go in the locker room like usual. But how do you think that some of these guys, like a Kevin Byard, for instance, have handled this situation from a leadership standpoint?
I think they're doing pretty good. I think you're starting to see some leaders emerge. I think Byard, as you mentioned, is one of the leaders of this team. I think Ryan Tannehill has emerged as one of the leaders of this team. Derrick Henry, I think, maybe while he's not the most vocal guy around, I think a lot of people take their cue from Derrick Henry on this team. I think, you know, you look at what all they lost, and guys like Terrell Casey and Delaney Walker and Wesley Woodyard, that's a lot of experience that walked out the door. But they're not the first team to have lost veteran leadership because guys got old and guys were no longer productive. And I think what you have to see is that transfer of power. You want to see your veteran leaders take the young guys under their wing and let them learn. And now it's time for guys like Byard and Henry and Tannehill and, you know, and on down the list to start taking their cue and leading this team. And I think that those guys also take their cue from Vrabel. And I think that they're all bought into what he's selling right now.
I know we don't know a timetable for these guys that are going on the COVID list of when they'll be available, if some of them would be able to play next week or if they'll be without them for a few weeks. But the guys that have been out with injury, whether it's A.J. Brown or Adoree Jackson, I guess the silver lining in all this is now they have a few more weeks to get healthy and get back. Do you think that maybe we're close to seeing some of those guys on the field?
I think they're getting closer, yeah. I'm not sure, you know, from, you know, they're not saying a whole lot about it, but I'm not sure Taylor Lewan would have been able to play this week had they went ahead and been able to play the Steelers. I'm not sure that A.J. Brown or Adoree Jackson would have been available. So in that regard, by pushing it to week 7, which is the presumption of what's going to happen, they should be in better shape to face the Steelers. Now, will they be able to play against Buffalo? At this point, who knows? But I think that there is a chance that some of those guys can get back and make this a healthier roster, at least from an injury standpoint, once they do return. I think, you know, to me, the big thing with, you know, about this is one of the things that, you know, might be a silver lining in this, and I look at the baseball situation. You know, I don't think anybody expected the Florida Marlins, even in an expanded year, to be a playoff team. I don't think a lot of people kind of wrote off the St. Louis Cardinals because of them missing 2 weeks. So it's this has the potential, once they get through the other side of it, to kind of be a galvanizing thing for the team to say, hey, we made it through this. Let's go take care of business. Because you see the Marlins and the Cardinals are still alive in the postseason after a lot of people had kind of written them off when they went into the COVID protocol, thinking that they would never be able to recover from it and finish out the season in the fashion that they did.
Congratulations on the Yankees. Terry, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Darren. I heard that.
I really meant that. I really meant that. So congrats.
I know you did.
I'm really happy for you.
I want to thank you because the Indians bullpen was crummier than the Yankees bullpen.
I can't believe we made it this far before Terry decided. I mean, he had to be waiting that entire 20 minutes to get that zinger in there.
No doubt.
I'd have taken the shot earlier, Terry, if I were you.
I'm not really happy.
Of course,
for
my
you,
team's not in it, so I
felt
mean,
I owed a congrats to
you. Hey, I'm the last one standing on the show.
Yeah,
it's like teasing when you have the fish on the hook. You know, you can't just really
do that. Right. You gotta savor the moment.
Terry, thanks for doing this. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, see you guys.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com is where you can find his work. We will come back and wrap up the first hour. Already been an action-packed hour here on Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.